if you're gonna go drugs on this, not that anyone has ever written a song about any drug other than heroin, because there's only three things that are possible to write songs about.
Really, only three topics.
All songs, it's like a Plinko board. If you set out to write a song about coconut water, it's going to end up being about heroin or butt sex or Lord of the Rings. That's just the way art works. Mm-hmm. Back to heroin, butt sex, and Lord of the Rings. We are here again with me, Richie Molino, and Sean Keen. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Ready to speak some truth about music.
Let's take it to the streets. Let's bring the truth to the people. Today we are joined by comedian and DJ extraordinaire Nina Tarr. How are you, Nina?
Wow. I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really not a douchebag at all.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Alleged non-douchebag. So far, yeah. So do you like buy vinyl all the time? Are you always like hunting down new songs? I'm fascinated by like the job of DJing.
Yeah.
You know? Do you consider that to be the job, is like to just know about cool shit that people don't know about?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a vinyl DJ. So I don't do MP3s. I just do vinyl. And because of that, you know, I have to search. I mean, I use Discogs a lot because I own like 2,000 records already. So then when I'm looking for something, it has to be very specific, where I'm like, all right, I want to get this like one Nigerian funk album only came out like on this label in 1976. And I have to get it from this very specific person, as opposed to like, you can really go down the rabbit hole. And I mean, the beauty of it is that it's always kind of this like background thing. So if something catches my ear, I'm like, oh, that's good. Let me look more into this.
And when you're out and you hear other DJs, are you like, I'm taking this song?
Sometimes I like don't really go out that much unless I'm DJing something.
Here's some cool songs I've heard recently. Do you know any of these? Check this one out.
Okay. Who is it?
Orland Oi?
No, but it sounds cool.
What about this one?
Steve Monte, Only You.
Boom.
Yeah. I'm like Steve. Human Shazam. I'm actually really
that's
good
really
at this
good.
Shit.
Yeah.
Before, I started collecting when I was 13, too. And I've been DJing for, 11 years. So then your brain gets into it.
That was like 1.5 notes, I think, that you got it on.
All right. Well, let's jump into it. What do you think? Before we do that briefly, Nina is appearing next, Catcher at the Neuhaus. Is that how you...
Neuhaus. It's like a German pronunciation. Does that make you... It's a German place of domicile.
Catch Nina at the Neuhaus. October 25th, Nina Tarr and Friends. Go to all our shows, comedy shows, DJ shows. Today we're doing two songs. We're doing Madonna's Like a Prayer, How Dare We? And we're doing Kiss from a Rose by Seal. Straight off the bat, we're going to do Like a Prayer. This song is by Madonna and Patrick Leonard, 1989. Briefly, here are the lyrics. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you call my name and it feels like home. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. Just like a prayer, you know I'll take you there. I hear your voice. It's like an angel sighing. I have no choice. I hear your voice. It feels like flying. I close my eyes. Oh God, I think I'm falling. Out of the sky, I close my eyes. Heaven help me. When you call my name, it's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I want to take you there. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. Just like a prayer, you know I'll take you there. Like a child, you whisper softly to me. You're in control, just like a child. Now I'm dancing. It's like a dream, no end and no beginning. You're here with me. It's like a dream. Let the choir sing. Same chorus. Just like a prayer, your voice can take me there. Just like a muse to me, you are a mystery. Just like a dream, you are not what you seem. Just like a prayer, no choice, your voice can take me there. That's about it here.
I actually know what the song is about.
You know what it's actually about?
Yeah, I know what it's actually about. It's okay. Literally about a blowjob.
That's...
And I'm sorry to, like, I know you guys have a template, a format, and I don't want to go rogue here, but this song is about blowjobs. Like, it is, like, 100% about it. And I'm pretty sure Madonna talks about it in later interviews when she's, like, a little zwinked out that it is. I mean... Well, I get down on my knees. I'm going to take you there. Mm-hmm. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power.
Yeah, Patrick Leonard brought up exactly what you're saying during the recording and tried to, because the recording of this song is and the music video, the entire production is basically the story of Madonna fighting old men to let her do what she wanted to do with this song, including Patrick Leonard saying, like, Madonna, you understand that you're describing a blowjob. And she's like, shut the fuck up, Patrick. Do what I say. I get that down on my knees. I want to take you there. But now it's like, I have no choice. I'm flying, all that stuff. Sounds just like sex in general.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, look, if we're going to put it in the context of the thematics of this podcast, I'm going to go anal sex all the way with this.
Saying it, right. Okay. I definitely see the, I think the blowjob stuff, I think Madonna would, you know, would confess to that.
There's a lot of like parallels between her relationship with this guy and her relationship with God. And I feel like God might use he that wants loophole. Every
hole. He wants every hole.
Well, I was going to say he could be respecting her virginity and just be like, well, we'll just go. Because isn't that like a real Catholic thing? That's like Catholic a
Mormon
thing.
Yeah. Like Mormons will like, a bunch of them will like have anal sex and like they'll get sexually transmitted diseases and because they're trying to like avoid, because they think that like anal sex is weirdly less intense than vaginal sex.
Right.
It's like, Jesus Christ. That's like exactly. That's like being like, I don't smoke weed. That's a gateway drug. But I do inject heroin into the corners of my eyes.
Yeah, yes.
Like, oh, that already.
Yeah.
That's a leap.
Right. No. But I'm sober. That's no, what that means.
No, I'm sober.
I only butt chug vodka.
Yeah. I'm sober.
I've never had a drink in my life.
Yeah.
But my butthole, on the other hand, so many drinks.
Yeah.
That guy's an alcoholic.
My butthole is an alcoholic.
I would even say also if you're dealing with a priest, it's not totally out of the question that there would be butt stuff involved.
Ooh,
it's
I like
what
this
you're
connection.
Used to, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
I like the biblical connections you're making and also maligning the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yum. Sean, are you buying any of this butt sex stuff from Nina over here? I'm definitely, look, the blowjob stuff.
Hey, are you purchasing my butt sex stuff?
And then when once you get into the video, now we have all this race relations
stuff
going on. I mean, I'll just run down the music video. Madonna sees a bunch of white guys sexually assaulting a white girl. She sees them. The cops start to show up. They run away. A black guy shows up to help the girl. The cops arrest him. Now he's turned into a wax. She runs into a church. That same guy is turned into a wax statue of Jesus behind a cage. She lets him out. They make out. They have sex, apparently.
She kisses his feet.
Mm-hmm. Kisses his feet as though he's Jesus. And
she's
they
Mary Magdalene.
Doesn't seem to give him a blowjob, I will say. And then a choir shows up and they all sing and dance and have a great time.
There's stigmata. There's a burning cross. It's a murder, right?
No, I think it's like a sexual assault. Oh,
okay,
a rape,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, we're not sure if the woman's dead or not.
But it's like white supremacists.
It is.
Burning a cross and everything like that, yeah. Okay. I mean, she got... she was doing like a deal with Coca-Cola. They like completely pulled the plug on her entire like development deal with Coca-Cola because of this video.
Yeah, I think it's Pepsi. But
Pepsi, yes, you're right. Sorry about that.
What I learned, I thought it was like a disaster for her. But because they pulled the plug on it, they didn't ask for any of the money back because they didn't want to like do a trial where they were talking about how they were cowards, basically.
Yeah.
So it kind of turned out to be a huge win for her because,
and it was badass of her too. Like she like that was like people were like, this is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the only controversial aspect of it was the fact that like, look, if you think a black Jesus is controversial, you're the problem, you know? And so, like, she's on the right side, you know? And this
because that was the thing that people were madder about.
Yes.
Because there was, like, the religious of it, but honestly, it was Black Jesus that people were just like, no.
Because what year is this? 86?
I think it's like 80.
This is 89.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Because yeah. I remember I actually saw the commercial as a little kid live and was just kind of like, all right. Like,
I remember the music video like vividly from watching it when I was younger. You know, I mean, now that we think about, look, I'm kind of on the fence a little bit too. I'm going to still kind of throw my ring in the hat for butt sex. Yeah. But in terms of the religious imagery, and there's like a lot of, you know, it might be even some Lord of the Ringsy vibes, you know?
Yeah, you got anything? I mean, I think the strongest stuff with Lord of the Rings is probably the voice aspect, because she's really focused. If you kind of boil this song down to just a couple of elements that seem to power it all the way through, you have whose voice? And who's the you, and who, you know, she's talking about this voice that she hears as this muse that's inspiring her. And she wants to take that person or that entity somewhere. And that entity seems to take her somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's all, like, it seems like if you bust those questions open and get satisfactory answers to those, who's she talking to? And, you know, in the standard interpretation, that would be God or
Gandalf.
Right.
The obvious voice thing, the only real hard one there for me would be Saruman.
Who the fuck? What is this?
Saruman is a wizard.
The white wizard of Orthanc.
All right, so full disclosure. Okay, I don't know shit about Lord of the Rings.
That's why me and Sean are here.
I'm not a fantasy lady. I love sci-fi, not in the fantasy. Sci-fi. It just, when somebody starts talking about different realms, I check out. Because it's built in, I'm just like, all right. It's built in lazy writing sometimes, because instead of like, it was in different realm the whole time. Yeah, and you're like, all right. It's like a lot of Deus Ex Machina is used in fantasy instead of kind of deductive reasoning of being like, all right, now we have to figure out how to get this.
I will say for Lord of the Rings, you occasionally get a convenient bird, but otherwise I think they kind of avoid.
Yeah, but some of the stuff, like, so for instance, Saruman's voice, he uses that voice to bring down the mountain to force them into the Mines of Moria with the Fellowship. So, you know, it's, could call that, you know.
Are you guys like speaking Mandarin Chinese to me, basically? Equivocal.
But I hear,
right?
Yeah. But I hear what you're saying, Nina, that like, it's sort of like, you know, as a writer, he needed to force them into this bad situation. And he's like, oh, I got an idea. What if this wizard can shout really loud?
Yeah. Or like, they're like, well, when I ride this centaur, that means that I access the power of this thing. Yeah. And it's like, wait, well, you're just fucking making shit up as you go along, man. I'm wrong. I know a lot of people like fantasy. It's just a preference. I don't want to malign any fantasy heads out there. You know, whatever you guys call yourselves, fantasy heads.
I just know about it.
I just like dystopian sci-fi shit, because I'm just like that Orwellian nightmare that I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Lean in.
Well, you might be interested in our satellite podcast, which is actually marijuana, oral sex, Dune. So,
our sister podcast. Yeah, I think it could be like Wormtongue talking to Saruman. That's an option.
You know,
but then that also might bring anal sex back into it.
I thought of it in terms of the Palantir.
Okay.
Because of their ability to listen in on the other ones. But actually, I felt like the stuff in the song actually pointed more to Denethor, the steward of Minas Tirith, who had one and was just constantly getting depressing images through the Palantir to the point where he just got into despair.
Right. And so the take me there would be to despair.
Yeah, basically like, I'm down on my knees.
Oh God, I think I'm falling. And then he does fall.
I'm going to light myself on fire. Yeah.
He does light himself on fire and fall off the cliff. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I guess my only argument against that would be that her continually bringing up the voice of the person she's speaking to, whereas the Palantir is really more of a visual oracle.
Well, I think. Look, I don't think this one is quite as strong. I kept trying to find more that...
This is a really tough song for this.
But did you have a heroin pitch?
You know,
I think I have a heroin pitch a little.
Oh, bit. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Can I look at the lyrics actually?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was thinking about how they could all relate. Mm-hmm. Okay. I close my eyes. Oh God, I think I'm falling. I mean, haven't we all seen a heroin addict on a subway platform? I mean, they're right. Basically just like slowly leaning, like getting more and more parallel to the ground.
There's that's like, true. Yeah. It's sort of like, and there's
feels like flying. I mean, have y'all done heroin?
No, but
all right, grow up. We've all been in middle school, right? I'm on my knees. I want to take you there. I mean, heroin addicts will suck dick for heroin.
Yeah.
I hear you call my name. That's definitely the voice of like an MTA agent at a subway station. And it feels like home. When you do heroin, any place feels like home, baby.
Like right over there on the ground.
Yeah, just like a stairwell feels like home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. Life sucks. Sometimes you just gotta do some heroin about it. That's pretty good. In the midnight hour, I can feel your power. I mean, just shooting up that sweet lady H in the veins, right? Yeah, I mean, I have no choice. I hear your voice, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, an addict.
Yeah, that's pretty strong for addiction. No choice.
Out of the sky, I close my eyes. Heaven help me. I mean, there's a lot of heroin addicts that when they're trying to get sober, they find God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. What else?
I even think the structure of the song when, like fiending at the beginning of the song and then the point when the high actually kicks in.
The chorus.
Heaven help me. Then you've got like, yeah, then there's chorus and everything's just brighter and louder.
Yeah. And then you're in control just like a child. So that's a big one. You're in control. I mean, I don't know. Now that I'm really going through it, lyric for lyric, I'm just like, all of this could be applicable to heroin.
It does seem like it does. Like the other ones have things that break it. You know, like you said, the butt sex thing gets sort of interrupted by this like massive focus on blowjob. So we're like, this song's about giving Jesus a blowjob.
It reminds it reminds me of Semi-Charm Life, where it's like,
oh, that's because it's so
overtly methy.
Yes, exactly.
That disqualifies it as a heroin song.
Surprising, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, I felt like, I mean, but it's, right. Doesn't he say it's about meth? It's about smoking crystal meth.
Well, meth is a metaphor for risky sex and behavior. Yeah.
Love it.
So, Sean, you're saying that even though we're talking about giving Jesus a blowjob,
uh-huh.
That whole religious thing is a metaphor for like a heroin experience or what?
Oh, I'm just saying that sometimes when a song is too close to like a very parallel and related activity, sometimes that will disqualify. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Like it's definitely not that because it's absolutely something else. So it's like definitely not about butt sex because it's absolutely about blowjobs.
Although I don't think it's necessarily not about butt sex in this one. Yeah.
Okay. So, but you know, I guess my point is a lot of times if you're talking about something, that's exactly the one thing that you don't say. You know, because then you want a little bit of a puzzle box.
If you're a songwriter, you want to have that, you want to use hyperbole, you want to use metaphor, you want to use
reversal,
nuance,
irony, all these sorts of things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So as far as Lord of the Rings, it's kind of tough. I do think there is a worm tongue talking to Saruman being like, that voice really gets me going. Uh-huh. But there's so much other stuff in there that I've mapped it on there. It doesn't apply very well. Heroin is seeming pretty likely, but I want to bring up a couple of things real fast. Like we got the racial justice aspects of the video. I was thinking that actually this might be in direct response to the Central Park 5 case that was that year. But then I did the research and this couldn't have been a response to that. It was the same month that it came out that the Central Park 5 incident happened. So this is not about that, although...
The same month that it came out, the song or the video? Or because the video maybe was a reaction to the Central Park 5 because there's mention of race in the song.
Good point. Hold on. All right. So talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to do the research while we talk.
Although I do also think that there's probably no lack of...
racial injustice that she might have witnessed in as a New York City resident in the 80s, you know?
Truth.
That's really true. I just thought it would be interesting if that was the actual case. And there was... No, it was April when the Central Park 5 thing happened. She was also in the middle of a divorce with Sean Penn. They had a...
pretty messy divorce, huh?
Messy, smashy, punchy kind of relationship that was breaking up at the time. But I kind of don't feel like this song has anything to do with that.
No, it has... It really doesn't. I mean, I can't really point to anything in the song that would be related to that. I think the song is a larger concept than her heartbreak.
Where are you guys at on the overall thing? Are you guys on Team Heroin on this one?
I'm on Team Heroin. If I have to choose one, Sean? I'm going to say Heroin.
I've like swept back. I think it's butt sex.
You think it's butt sex?
I thought I wasn't gonna land there, but I think I am.
So why so much focus on the blowjobs? Like, is it, why is Jesus butt fucking her, or is it, you know?
I think getting down on the knees, Jesus? Like, there's definitely, well, I think it's just incredibly submissive in general. So definitely there's like a blowjob aspect to it too.
That's where it starts, right.
But I think just in general, it's just like really surrendering. The part of, in the midnight hour, I can feel your power.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's about heroin, though.
Yeah, but why would that be butt sex? I mean, even if it is not heroin and sex, why is that butt sex versus not or just regular sex? You know, like feel
right. Oh,
great sex.
I think that the sort of like the Catholic imagery is leading me more to like how are you reconciling your sexual feelings to God? Well, you do everything but, you know,
everything
you
but.
Do it in the butt. Okay. You get to third base.
So when this song starts, it says, "Life is a mystery. Everyone must stand alone. I hear you calling my name, and it feels like home." And you're like, okay, this is the song about butt sex.
Really?
Well, okay. So there,
I mean, does that seem obviously like heroin either?
No, that's true.
Yeah.
None of it's obvious. Yeah, these are all, you know, nuanced, you know, lyrics in some sense. But the home thing, I don't know, man. I'm going heroin. That's my vote. That's my vote.
Yeah. I mean, Sean,
you're butt sex. Stuff.
I'm butt sex. I think. Yeah.
Richie, what is it?
I have
be
no
for you?
Choice. I hear a voice. Feels like flying. Close my eyes. Oh God, I think I'm falling. I mean, I could see it in both here. There's got to be something to break the sort of tie here. Okay, maybe let's get into here. Like a child, you whisper softly to me. Do you whisper? Is that the...
Well,
the,
I think the, Sean the, would say, there you go, that's Catholic the, priest.
Yeah. Like a child, you whisper to me, like, you know, why are we in these pews? What normally happens here?
So is this the sort of thing where she's replacing justice for children abused by priests with racial justice because it would be way too controversial to make this video about the abuse of children by Catholic priests?
I guess I just don't see the video as canonical about the song.
Okay.
But.
So they're sort of separate artworks in a way, yeah.
Yeah, to me it feels more like, I don't know, she'd seen Mississippi Burning and was like, I like the, you know.
Do you think, she was trying to make like a grandiose political statement and take her out of the running of being like, you know, a very affable pop star. She was trying, you know, this Definitely. Is from like Material Girl and like a virgin, you know, and this kind of desperately seeking Susan like character she'd been playing. And it's like, all right, how do I change the tide? How do I have longevity in my career and make like a political statement by way of this, you know?
And you could even say like, this is the logical third in the trilogy. If you're saying, okay, so you have Like a Virgin first, Papa Don't Preach.
Yeah.
You're talking about the religious elements, but she's not having an abortion.
And then the third one,
yeah, she's got Like a Prayer, where we're...
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's using two similes about herself. She's saying she's like a virgin and that she is like a prayer or someone else is like a prayer. But in this song, she says it's like a prayer when someone else calls her name.
Right.
Unless she's not speaking as herself, unless she's speaking as God or if she's speaking as a choir boy who's getting butt fucked.
Well, I mean, a priest, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
A priest, I mean, the reason why you have a, you know, a person of God, like a nun or a priest, is because they're supposed to be the direct, like, they're a conduit of God.
Yes.
Yeah. So that would be like, yeah, that would be a substitution of God. Like, you don't have direct access to God, but you have this God representative. So, fuck, now I'm convincing myself it's about butt sex.
I know, because then, just like a prayer, I'll take you there. So this would be the child hearing the priest and seeing the authority of the priest and seeing the priest as the emissary of God and going like, I have no choice.
I mean, I think it's more just like kind of like a Fleabag scenario where, you know.
I still haven't seen season two, so I'm not getting it. I know, I got to watch it. I love season
you're
one.
You're arrested.
But yeah, you're submitting to a power that's larger than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like it's
damn it.
This is a kind of relationship.
I guess because of all the other Catholic stuff and the idea of religious people not having vaginal sex, having anal sex instead, and the priest abuse stuff. Gosh, yeah, it does seem like it's conspicuously in that conceptual
zone.
Well,
also, may I say this? All of these like allegations about the church was not really that popularized until post 90s. When you think about it, right? In the 80s, I mean, obviously it was happening for a very long time, but when you think about it actually in the media, that's something that hasn't really come to light. I would say it probably came to light like 25 years ago.
Yeah, which is like
not during this time.
And everyone's like apologizing to
Sinead. So Sinead O'Connor tears up the picture of the Pope in like 92.
Yes.
But this is also very much, I feel like, in like clearly Madonna's in the same circles as like Robert Mapplethorpe at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who's doing a lot of religious type, like just the sacrilege in art.
Was he an altar boy?
I don't know if he was an altar boy. Yeah.
Because that wasn't really, I mean, obviously abuses and scandals in the church have been happening probably since the dawn of time, but it wasn't really popular. I mean, they had done a very good job of covering it up for a very, very, very long time and really didn't come like into the conversation in popular culture, I would say, really until the 90s when there was probably like a big expose. He was an altar boy?
He was an altar boy.
Robert Mapplethorpe was an altar boy.
Yeah.
And ended up making a lot of, you know, extremely homoerotic photography and all that stuff.
I'm changing my vote. I'm going butt sex.
Yeah. You know, I once, I went to the Mapple, they had an exhibit on him at LACMA a couple of years ago.
I went to that too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I went and I was with my friends who had like a 6-month-old baby. And so I just had a baby in like a baby Bjorn walking through the exhibit. I'm like, hey, I can remember this, but
yeah, it doesn't really matter.
It was just a hilarious image.
Close up photos of just anuses, really close to the aperture of the camera lens.
There's a picture of me somewhere like holding a baby's hands and we're both smiling, and behind me is just like
somebody's like
two just giant dicks.
Yeah, like in an
leather
orifice.
Daddies, yeah.
No. Tom of Finland shit, but like actually just like with a real human.
yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm back on in the butt sex world with this, with all this Catholic
butt
imagery.
Butt sex world.
What do you think, Sean? Are you
yeah, I think I'm back on butt sex and just seems to be into the idea of the you know, devotion and kind of supplication, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fascinating. Let's get into song number two.
My power, my pleasure, my pain.
All right. Our second song of the afternoon, Kiss from a Rose by Seal. Written in 1987 or 8, it's unclear, and released in 1994. It was part of the Batman Forever soundtrack.
He wrote this like 7 years earlier?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
So Seal wrote this song when he was around 25. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it came out, 7, 8 years later? He didn't like it. He said that this was like a garbage song, and then somebody heard it, and his producer, you know, gussied it up, and then someone else was like, I love that song, and then they put it out on his second album, and then Joel Schumacher wanted it in Batman Forever, and then it became a number one hit, an international number one hit. And Seal, you know, has just said, like, I don't know, it's a song I wrote when I was 25. I don't know what it, and he has said himself, like, I don't even know what it means. So we're going to do some work.
We'll let him know.
We're going to do some work for Seal right now.
Thank God. Yeah. You know, he means it. He's done so much for us.
He's done so much for us. Such a great guy. This, I could see a couple different angles on this one. Overall, I think this one is about butt sex, but that's just me.
I do too.
Me too. Okay. Should we go through the lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go through the lyrics. Here are the lyrics to Kiss from a Rose by Seal, 1994. There used to be a graying tower alone on the sea. You became the light on the dark side of me. Love remained a drug that's the high and not the pill. But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can or can't? Which one do you think? Can or can't?
Can, I think.
Oh. Why is that an option? Is it a slash there? Like can, well, can't? It's, you can't like...
Okay. Seal did not print the lyrics anywhere.
It's not in like the liner notes of the CD.
No. There are no liner notes with lyrics for this song. So it's kind of up in the air whether this is can or can't, because I've listened to it as close as I can. I cannot tell whether he's saying can or can't. Let's see, where was I? My eyes become large and the light that you shine can be seen. Baby, I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the gray. Ooh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Now that your rose is in bloom, a light hits the gloom on the gray.
Yeah.
There is so much a man can tell you, so much he can say. You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain. Baby, to me, you're like a growing addiction that I can't deny. Won't you tell me, is that healthy, baby? But did you know that when it snows, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can be seen? I've been kissed by a rose on the gray. I've been kissed by a rose on the gray. And if I should fall, will it all go away? I've been kissed by a rose on the gray. That's all the lyrics.
Look,
everything's,
I mean,
repetition after that.
Even just reading the lyrics, it's like, it's totally about butt sex.
It sounds like slash fiction, honestly. It sounds like almost like a poem that someone who is unclear about how to like recognize their own sexuality, but like hinting at it in not a very oblique way, just being like, look, there's a gray tower and it kisses a rose. Yeah.
You know, like a prolapsed anus.
Right. This is like Eric Cartman talking about sex. Like, this is a fourth grader talking about sex.
Yeah,
and they've
it's
never
not
had
even
it.
Like, he's not even utilizing like opaque language. It's just like feels so clear. I mean, when your eyes, so what was that one?
My eyes become large.
When my eyes become large and the light that you shine can be seen. So I think the light that you shine can be seen is an orgasm. The more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Mm-hmm. Now that your rose is in bloom, I mean, that's like a butthole. That's,
but why would that? I mean, that could just as easily be a vagina or a vulva, rather.
Yeah,
just,
but okay, how about this?
He says, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels. Just feels like a lot of
like putting your
I take your point on that.
Okay.
That, like, yeah, that something's flowering.
But an asshole has to, like, also kind of dilate.
When my eyes become large, it's like, well, there's a very similar dilation.
You remain my power, my pleasure, my pain.
That's
a big one too. I mean, there is pleasure in anal sex. There's pain in anal sex. And really it is about that power of that kind of submission and that role play, you know, and that trust too, that you're giving somebody to allow them to access like a very vulnerable part of your body. You're like a growing addiction I can't deny. I mean, for fuck's sake, anytime I've let a guy fuck me in the ass, he just like, can we do it again? Like, it's just like, y'all become so obsessed with it.
Oh yeah. But yeah, I just feel like he's really very specifically going into like blooming.
Well, and also I'll just throw it out there that Seal has a rare form of lupus, which is where his facial scars come from. By this time, he was 25. I think he's referring to himself as an old man. in a way in this song, which is something that 25-year-olds do. They're like, I'm old now. Oh, God.
Yeah, they become really like poetic about their like, oh, my age.
Life. I remember when I was 22. You're like, you were just 22.
yeah.
Yesterday. But anyway, I think that's where Seal's coming from in this, where he's like, I'm a scarred old man now. So lupus can cause scarring, swelling, thyroid problems.
Does it turn premature. Your penis gray? That's
Richie, type it in.
No, that's what I'm saying. It causes hair loss and notably very early graying.
Oh.
Of hair. So he may be talking to his prematurely graying pubes.
Yeah.
May be referring to his prematurely graying pubes in that the kiss is like, wow, he's like.
Sometimes guys, like their balls are kind of gray.
Ashy. He needed to exfoliate.
So the thing that really convinced me though, even besides like, because I get, that like, oh, you know, roses, that could be a metaphor for the vagina instead. But the fact that it got selected for the Batman Forever soundtrack, which means it was picked by Joel Schumacher. Now, Joel Schumacher, openly gay director, helming a superhero movie. Here's
the Robert and Batman effect as well, which I think that they have a, like, a relationship.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So here's what happens in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Just briefly, what were you saying? The what in the Batman effect?
Robin and Batman.
Yeah. Did I say Robert and Batman? I think I might have said I sound like my mom who's a foreigner.
And Batman for when they make love for.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So,
gotcha.
So in Batman Forever, Batman adopts a young, muscular teenage acrobat named Dick. He wears leather all the time. He's super into motorcycles. And he comes to live at Wayne Manor with Batman's old British guardian manservant or something.
Right, and Alicia Silverstone has to say, like, hey, this is the part where you're supposed to kiss me. And he's like, oh, right.
Well, she's actually not in it until the second one, which is even gayer. But I'll get to that in a second. So the villains, basically Batman Forever is a movie about Batman accepting at least his bisexuality. The villains are Two-Face, a man who is constantly at war with the two sides of his nature, and then the Riddler, who is a young, confused man who gets obsessed with handsome playboy Bruce Wayne, and as we know that part of the LGBTQ equation is questioning, he's literally wearing a suit with question marks.
He's wearing a neon green bodysuit through the whole.
And then the plan that the villains hatch is they harness the brain power of Gotham to expose everyone's secrets. Basically, they're just trying to out Bruce Wayne the whole movie.
Gotcha.
But because he's involved with Nicole Kidman, the therapist, he takes the mask off himself. And the big character climax is that he reveals his hidden identity. And then he and Chris O'Donnell are finally able to team up and put on, you know, their leather costumes together.
Right.
Okay. And then by the next Batman film, we are without Batman. They've switched to George Clooney. He's got nipples on his suit. And the Arnold Schwarzenegger essentially is a superhero. A supervillain. He's essentially like a drag queen. He's like speckled in diamonds. Every line is like, freeze well, everybody. Like it's a Bruce Vilanch character. And he has like a real pretty wife, but she's always behind glass. She's like never around. And then the tension in that movie only comes when Robin hangs out with Alicia Silverstone or Poison Ivy. And that's the only thing they fight about, Batman and Robin, at that point.
Wow.
So it's just like,
I really applaud you on this excavation. I'm very impressed.
Yeah. So I think that's why this song resonated so much with Joel Schumacher.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Seal's very handsome also.
That's true.
I think that scars only made him more handsome.
My old heterosexual male roommate was always like, Seal's the most handsome man in the world.
Yeah.
Scars only add to it.
Yeah, Heidi Klum. I mean, they're still together.
No, they broke up in 2013, but
Wow, Richie, you got your finger on the pulse.
I love it.
That.
I love it.
But they have, they're still great friends, and they have, I think, three kids together.
Holy cow.
And they're perfectly happy. It's, it was not acrimonious at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, okay, this is a lot of stuff. We can come back and sort of seal the deal on this one or unseal the butthole on this one. But just quickly, let's like sort of crop out the other two. Heroin, really not much, because if you're going to go drugs on this, not that anyone has ever written a song about any drug other than heroin, because there's only three things that are possible to write songs about.
Really only three topics.
All songs, it's like a Plinko board. If you set out to write a song about coconut water, it's going to end up being about heroin or butt sex or Lord of the Rings. That's just the way art works.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to come at this song from a heroin perspective, you end up in a cocaine world instead. You know,
oh, because when it snows,
the
yeah.
snows and the, all that stuff.
Yeah, and the kind of the eyes
get wide instead of like getting narrow or sleepy. So it just doesn't, it's going in the opposite direction, which means that it's not about drugs at all.
And also the way the song even crescendos, like the structure of the song musically does have a very like blast.
Up.
I mean, it's very, yes.
It's up,
I don't even notice this way the BPM is like, because it really starts slow. And that's another, I think something to pay attention to as well is that like in anal sex, you kind of have to really ease your way in and you start slow. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of crescendos into this like powerful sensation, you know?
Right. So the good thing about coming at it from a butt sex perspective is that cocaine is allowed in there. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying.
You can allow cocaine into a heroin perspective, but as long as the heroin is the primary subject.
Yes.
So,
and it's not in this scenario.
It's not. So mm-hmm. then, so once you're in butt sex, you're like, fine, there's cocaine in there. Fine. Yeah, great. And like, if then they would say, just they would say flower instead of rose because it's a poppy. Or they would say poppy.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like it just doesn't work, you know, so...
There's also like the way to smoke crack is like, you know, they get those, it's called a glass rose. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I've seen, it's like, and that's an upper drug.
Yeah, well, you can, smoke at it. You like go to a liquor store, you're like, can I get a glass rose? And it's really just, it's like this rose that comes in like a glass thing and you take the rose out and it's just, it's like the way when you go to a store and you're like, can I get VCR cleaner?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
Okay, and then Lord of the Rings, I think the only way to do it, because you're dealing with towers, and you're like, okay, well, then which tower are they talking about?
Uh-huh.
And it has to be a tower in view of a sea. The only one I could find is Elistirion, which is one of the three white towers that Gil-galad built in honor of Elendil.
Uh-huh.
Which is where one of the Palantirs of Arnor was kept...
Oh, that's the west, the one that only faces west.
Yeah, and that looks out across the sea from which you can virtually visit Valinor.
Yeah.
So it's sort of an inspiration point kind of thing.
So the one I was taking away from that is, and it ended up landing me back in butt sex again, is that there is a character named Rose in Lord of the Rings, which
like
is
Rosie Cotton?
Rosie Cotton, which is Sam's eventual spouse.
Yeah.
So you could argue that this is
but then he
the
only
speaker's,
gets
the speaker Sam, who's like, should I compare you to a kiss from a rose? That's the only other person I've kissed, Frodo.
Right, but why on the gray?
Well, because I guess it's Gandalf the Gray. Like they're
on him?
Well, you know, they're like riding on the back of his horse, feeling around a little bit. But again, it just leads you to butt sex again. So
right. Well, Rosie doesn't go to the Grey Havens.
No. I'm saying that Sam's only romantic point of reference before his infatuation with Frodo is Rose. So, like, I can only compare you to a kiss from a rose because I'm this dorky gardener's son, and there's the like I I've only fooled around with one girl. It's a little literal, I think, that he'd be like a kiss from a rose and.
So, but he would be talking to Frodo, comparing Frodo to Rosie Cotton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see it, but I just, the on the gray, Gandalf on the horse.
Dude, knowing that Seal's lupus turned his pubes gray that's like...
This is unequivocal. I feel like undeniable.
It
like,
is.
I feel like a prayer was a bit more difficult to kind of... Yeah, that was a hard one. And this one is just like... I mean, we all were unanimous even prior to giving our arguments.
Yeah. But at first I was like, why is the tower gray? And then learning that, I was like, oh, of course the tower's gray.
And the tower... Yeah, I mean, the tower is just like, oh, that's his dick, of course. Uh-huh. Like,
it is really cute to think of a 25-year-old seal being like, oh, my gray old dick. And then
dicks kind of do have a grayish quality to them, though.
I thought it was not wrong. Yeah, exactly. Like, they're, it wasn't like, exactly.
They're a different skin tone. They're, you know.
It feels like it's more defined all kinds by of like weird, the absence of color.
Unexpected or like, colors.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, in the human
and
penis.
And the genital. So we'll just eat any.
You got purples in there. You got gray. You got orange. You got pinks. You got reds. You got everything. It's totally.
It's like a sunset.
Yeah, a lot of weird stuff. And I was thinking, well, maybe that's what Gandalf himself calls his own dick. He's like the gray.
And then he aged so much, he's like, oh, shit, I'm getting off the white now, bitches.
Getting off the white. Yeah, and there are two other towers that were both devoured by the sea that Melkor destroyed, which held the lamps that lit the first age of Arda. But they were not, by the time they were flooded by the sea, they were destroyed by that. So they were not a fated tower on the sea. They were destroyed by flood. Yeah. Huh. So that doesn't work. No. Yeah, this one's a... Put this up in the Sorbonne.
Well, we've sealed this one up.
Yeah. Yeah. Kiss from a Rose is about butt sex. Like a Prayer is. I mean, I feel like, okay. So Like a Prayer, I'm 90% fine on this being about butt sex. But there is still like a tiny bit of heroin hangover for me on
this. I think that's totally fair. It's definitely...
There's got to be room somehow in this endeavor to give sort of a Bayesian, like, we're 95% on heroin or 95% on butt sex for this one, you know, where it's like there is a small possibility. And if you guys out there have some other convincing reasons why you think Like a Prayer is actually about heroin, please get at us and let us know.
Tip the scales.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much for coming on, Nina.
My this pleasure. Has been, thank you so much. You guys, this is, you know, I can't.
The
thank
stupidest
you
thing you've ever heard of?
I was actually going to say the opposite. I feel like to intellectualize the meanings of songs in this manner is really fascinating to me, and I really love it. So kudos.
What's the best way to keep up with the stuff you're doing for Neotar fans?
You can follow me on Instagram at Pizza Party 69. Can't forget that.
It's a really good name.
You got to get on the ground floor to get that Instagram handle. I got Instagram a long time ago.
Yeah, I had to settle for Pizza Party 70.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
It's not
doesn't
sexy,
mean
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
I'm a George Center, by the way.
That's
great.
It was good, but I in hindsight, I'm like, maybe I should have just had Sean.
What is that? Sean Keene is at JORTC, or is there?
It's Jorts and then Center.
So Gene
then,
Shorts.
Oh, I see. Gene Shorts.
What happened was.
I'm 25. I'm an old man.
A couple of my comedian buddies, have you ever had a Dolores part? They sell there's a beautiful man who sells these seal caliber looks, who sells these chocolate covered weed truffles in Dolores Park. And me and a couple of comedian friends ate a bunch of them on a camping trip and then just sat around for like 2 hours writing down things that would be news items on a show called George Center, like news just about people
about,
getting George. So
about
like
Gene Shorts?
Just things like about like waking up in a Denny's, crossing a freeway on foot, being asked to leave. Corning a dog. Anyway, it was a great time.
Evading child support.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's like Jort's behavior.
Yeah. Asking to borrow underwear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Striking a loved one.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. Jort's Center on Instagram. I am at Marfatita, MARFATITA. So thank you, Nina, for joining us. If you guys out there have any songs to recommend, controversial theories about songs that you want to submit, you can call up our phone line, listen in the show notes. You can email us at hbslotr@gmail.com. Spread the word to your nerd weirdo friends about our weird nerdo show. And we will catch you next time, very soon, on Heroin Butt Sex and Lord of the Rings.